Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 2 December 2025, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Israel, My Glory, November-December edition. And there's an article here that explains very clearly why the United States of America is on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. Anti-Semitism throughout the United States of America. And especially in universities in the United States of America, and the so-called elite universities, the Ivy League. The Ivy League is totally full of anti-Semitism. Ivy League bigotry. Deborah Lipstadt, formerly the United States Special Envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism, was invited to teach at Columbia University for a semester. But she felt compelled to turn down the offer due to the epidemic sweeping through many American universities, specifically virulent campus anti-Semitism. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And America is cursing Israel and the Jewish people. And that means we are going to get clobbered in the United States of America. As Special Envoy, Lipstadt watched the alarming unraveling of campuses that claim to be dedicated to the pursuit of truth transform themselves into places where basic morality had been inverted. She wrote in the Free Press in March 2025, Following Hamas's attack of 7 October 2023, things went from bad to worse. Lipstadt did not feel safe or even able to teach without being harassed, citing anti-Israel protesters' 2024 takeover of Columbia's Hamilton Hall and a similar action at Bernard College, Columbia's sister school for women. She said, "I do not flinch in the face of threats, but this is not a healthy nor an acceptable learning environment." 2 months after Lipstadt's remark, a mob of masked anti-Israel protesters stormed Columbia's Butler Library, defaced its property, and disrupted students studying for exams. Their takeover lasted 5 hours and resulted in the arrest of 81 people, primarily from Columbia and Bernard University. Like Columbia, many other schools in the Ivy League, the so-called class of universities, was emblematic of Western heritage and ideals, they now reek with anti-Semitism. In April 2025, former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett spoke at Princeton University. Shortly after he began speaking, 20 anti-Israel protesters chanted, "Naftali Bennett, you can't hide. We charge you with genocide." Then they exited the building to join more than 200 other anti-Israel protesters. Shortly after the walkout, the fire alarm in the building was set off. In an Instagram post, the Princeton Palestine Liberation Coalition, the campus chapter of the anti-Semitic group Students for Justice in Palestine, took credit for pulling the alarm, writing, "Genocide alarm activated." Danielle Shapiro, a Princeton senior who attended Bennett's speech, shared her experience. As we filed out of the building, the protest had swelled to around 100 participants, with most people wearing masks and many yelling at us, "You're committing a Holocaust and you're killing babies." Multiple students, myself included, were told to get out, go back to Europe. We also heard many shouts of, "They're all," and they didn't put what the expletive is, "they're all expletive inbred and inbred swine." At least two or three protesters used their hands to create the shape of the Hamas triangle. In April, an anti-Israel protester splattered red paint on the face of Dartmouth Hall at Dartmouth College. Granted anonymity, the perpetrator claimed to commit the crime purposely on the day prospective students were visiting the campus. He said, quote, "As Dartmouth welcomes the class of 2029 to campus, university students in Gaza must put their education on pause for the second consecutive year due to Israel's continued assault on the Gaza Strip. The culprit stated, "Let the blood that drips from Dartmouth Hall remind you of the price of silence." That same month, Jewish students at Yale University were blocked from walking across campus by anti-Israel protesters demonstrating against Israeli politician Itamar Ben-Gvir. He was on campus. In a video, Jewish student Nathaniel Crisp is seen trying to get through the mass of masked protesters who tell him he must go around their mob to cross the campus. According to a Fox News report, when the demonstrators saw Crisp, who was wearing a kippah, they formed a human chain, refusing to let him pass. Sahar Tartak, another Jewish student at Yale, told Fox that a protester referred to her and another Jewish friend as scum and many other slurs. Anybody who stands up for a Jewish right to life, and that tends to be Jewish students, that puts a target on your back, she said. The Trump administration has withheld substantial federal funding from several Ivy League schools that have ignored anti-Semitism on their campuses and threatened to remove their tax-exempt status. Still, the fact that America's most prestigious school deal with anti-Semitism only when facing federal pressure demonstrates their moral emptiness. Again, Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And in our study on Tuesday night, we're in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah has, we start out with 8 visions. And these visions, as we get down to the last couple visions, have a double fulfillment, a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. And in the near fulfillment, it was at the time of Zechariah and Haggai, and the return of the Jews under the decree of Cyrus the Great and Darius Hystaspes. But there was a warning that was given by Zechariah, a warning given to all these Jews still in Babylon, that you better get out of Babylon and get back here. Come back to Judah. Come back to Jerusalem. Come back to where the temple is, where the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, will reside in the Holy of Holies. Warn them, you better come back. And they didn't. They didn't because they were making too much money. They were making lots of money. The details of life were far more important. Spiritual priorities didn't mean a diddle to them. Not at all. What made a difference was lots of money. They had a lot of social life. They had everything, but they had no spiritual life. And that wasn't important to them at all. But I'll be honest, in the United States of America today, it's not important to most Christians in this country either. Just not important. And, as we saw with regard to the Chaldean Empire, the hand writing on the wall. Well, the handwriting is on the wall in America too. Now we're still here, so there's hope. The only hope for the United States of America is Jesus Christ. That's the only hope for this nation, Jesus Christ, and a spiritual revival. The only hope is that the grace gospel is given all over America. And that all these Christians, out of fellowship with God, living by the lust patterns of their sin nature, living in Satan's cosmic system, that God will nail them right between the eyes. They'll come to their senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life. And then they need to seek out a sound Bible teaching church, a doctrinal Bible teaching church, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that the pivot might increase enough where we are delivered from the fifth cycle of national discipline. Right now, we're on the edge of the volcano. But that's what has to happen. And Zechariah is the perfect book. Tuesday night class. So let's start with the corrected translation at Zechariah 4, verse 6. So he, the teaching angel, answered and said to me, Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Absolutely not by means of might, nor by means of power, but by means of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, says the Lord of the armies. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of grace, grace. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, here referring to God the Father, has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you. In fact, verse 10, who despises the day of small things? At this point in verse 10, Zechariah 4:10, the Lord is rebuking those who despised and showed contempt for the building of this new temple. Nothing God commissions to be built for His glory, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, should ever be considered insignificant. God often uses small things for His honor and for His glory. Those who despise the day of small things have their eyes on superficial things and not on the grace and the power of God. These believers are suffering from spiritual malnutrition. These believers have little metabolized doctrine in their heart. And therefore, they are stupid and ignorant when it comes to spiritual things. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart gives the eyes of your heart clear thinking. The perfect character of God makes perfect provision for everything in His plan. God's plan and God's essence is greater than any small things. When you despise the day of small things, You have lost sight of the fact that everything in life must be a point of the absolute truth of the Word of God. Behind every point of Bible doctrine is the perfect character of God. Behind every promise in the Word is the perfect character of God. In fact, the fact that you have the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit in your lap right now is proof that God is perfect. God is a genius. God is immutable. God is unchangeable. God is faithful. You have a Bible, the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit, because of who and what God is. And the very fact that you have a Bible in your lap is an illustration of the grace and the power of God. By His grace and His power, we can clear these spiritual hurdles and glorify God to the maximum. And then as the temple went up, there were not only those who despised small things, but there were those who rejoiced and celebrated over this temple. Verse 10 again. In fact, who despises the day of small things? There's the negative crowd. There's the crowd of the eyes on the details of life, but spiritual priorities were not. In fact, who despises the day of small things? For men, now we go to the winner believers. Winner believers will rejoice and have great inner happiness when they see the capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. The word there, samach, is the Hebrew word to rejoice. It means to be glad. It means to have great inner happiness. And there was a remnant that came back. They came to Jerusalem, have great inner happiness. They are listening to the teaching of Zechariah and Haggai. They're growing up in their spiritual life, and they are sharing the happiness of God. The winner believers who have maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart are rejoicing because they have great inner happiness. When they ra'ah, when they see the yod, the hand of Zerubbabel, put the ha'even ha'bedil, the capstone, in place, now the temple is officially completed. For those winner believers who see the temple not as a little tiny structure, not a place of wood and marble, the temple, but rather they see the temple as a demonstration of the grace and power of God. For these believers, there is great inner happiness and rejoicing. And they shout, "Grace, grace," verse 7. Now the last phrase in verse 10 is actually a parenthesis. Shiva Ela, these seven, Ene and the Tetragrammaton, the eyes of the Lord, Hema Mishotatim, which range, which go to and fro, Bakal Ha'eretz, literally in all the earth, figuratively throughout the entire earth. So the parenthesis says this: these seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the entire earth. Now, after we exegeted verse 10, we started a summary. We have 6 points in our summary so far. Point one was seven, is the number of perfection. The number of perfection. Now, six, that's the number 666. Number of man. 666, number of the Antichrist. You don't ever want to have the number six. In fact, I've gone out and hunting, went to a motel. The only room they had was number six. I said, hell no, I'm not going to have number six. You have house seven. Is seven open? No. Seven. Oh, we'll go to another place. I'm not going to be at six. No way, Jose. But then I, with Dr. Ruggieroli, checking my cholesterol, and he says, oh, Pastor Olson, this is really bad. What's the deal? Your ratio is 666. 666. He says, that is not good. I said, not good. That's horrible. Not to worry. We're going to get off 666. We have. That was enough right there. Everything changed. My diet changed. Everything changed at that point. Seven. That's the number of perfection. 2:7 describes the perfect person, the eternal Son of God, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. 3, the phrase, the eyes of the Lord, is an anthropomorphism for the omniscience of the eternal Son of God. 4, nothing is hidden from God's infinite intelligence and omniscience. 5, the Lord's eyes scrutinize the entire world. 6, he providentially watches over and cares for Israel against its enemies and will accomplish his sovereign plan for the Jewish people. Well, that's what we stopped at that point last time. So we start now point seven. Point seven. God had commissioned the temple's construction. God had commissioned the temple's construction, and no one had a right to despise it. God had commissioned the temple's construction, and no one had the right to despise it. The group at the beginning of verse 10. Who despises the day of small things? 8. The Lord Jesus Christ has been there on the job with them. And the Lord Jesus Christ has protected them. We studied this in Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. Which says, and I myself will be a wall of fire around it. Great. Where does that come from? Wall of fire. Well, right here. Zechariah 2, verse 5. And I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord. And I will be its glory within. That's Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, dwelling in the Holy of Holies of this new temple. So the Lord Jesus Christ has been there on the job with them, and the Lord Jesus Christ has protected them as the wall of fire while they are building the temple. 9. The Lord Jesus Christ has frustrated the genius of Satan and held back the battalions of fallen angels. Satan, there's no way Satan wants to see this temple rebuilt. He's trying every way possible to prevent the temple from being rebuilt. And the Lord Jesus Christ has frustrated the genius of Satan and held back the battalions of fallen angels. Ten. The Lord Jesus Christ sent out elect angel recon patrols. The Lord Jesus Christ sent out elect angel recon patrols to prevent other nations and kingdoms from stopping the construction of the temple. The Lord Jesus Christ sent out elect angel recon patrols to prevent other nations and kingdoms from stopping the construction of the temple. 11th. Jesus Christ gets the glory for the construction of the temple. Jesus Christ gets the glory for everything. Jesus Christ is present there at the dedication ceremony. There were world conditions that could have hindered the construction of the temple. Throughout the whole earth, these events have been held in check by the Lord Jesus Christ. 12. Zechariah's message greatly encouraged both Zerubbabel and the Jewish remnant, both of whom were equipped and sustained by God the Holy Spirit to finish building the second temple. Zechariah's message greatly encouraged both Zerubbabel and the Jewish remnant, both of whom were equipped and sustained by God the Holy Spirit to finish building the second temple. Absolutely not by means of might, nor by means of power, but by means of the Spirit, says the Lord of the armies. Now Zerubbabel completed the work on the temple 4 years later in 516 BC, Ezra 6 verse 15. Excited about the revelation he had received and knowing that his question about the olive trees back in Zechariah 4, 3 and 4 had not been answered, Zechariah quickly responded with one question and then another. And by the time we get to the end of chapter 4, he's going to get the answer. So off we go into the wild Zechariah 4:11. Zechariah 4:11. Then answered I and said unto him, this is the conjunction vowel prefix to the cal imperfect of ana, plus the conjunction vowel prefix to the cal imperfect of amer, plus the preposition el with the third person singular masculine suffix. Literally, this says, then I answered and said to him. Then I answered and said to him, knowing that his question about the olive trees had not been answered in Zechariah 4, 3 and 4, Zechariah quickly repeats the question. And therefore this phrase is correctly translated, then I asked him, that is him, the teaching angel. Then I asked him, the teaching angel, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the lampstand and upon the left side of it? Well, we have the interrogative pronoun ma, joined by a makef to the ordinal shene, plus the noun zayith with the definite article, plus the demonstrative pronoun elah with the definite article, plus the preposition al, old preposition al, better than negative al, preposition al, joined by a makef to yamin, plus the noun menorah. You probably know that. There you go. There's a word you know, menorah. See, with the definite article, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the preposition al, joined by a makef to the noun samola. Well, the interrogative pronoun ma. M-A-H. You thought it was just M-A, but it's M-A-H. Ma. That asks the question, what? And ma is joined by a makef to the ordinal shene, which is the number two. And then we have hazetim ha'ela. And hazetim ha'ela, that's these olive trees. What are these two olive trees? He asked the teaching angel. What are these two olive trees? And then we have the prepositional phrase al, joined by a makef to yamin, correctly translated on the right side, al yamin, on the right side. And then we have ha menorah, that's the lampstand. And then we have vav prefixed to the preposition al, joined by a makef to simola, correctly translated, and on the left. So, verse 11 sounds like this. Then I asked him, the teaching angel, what are these two olive trees on the right side of the lampstand and on the left? Verse 12. And I answered again and said unto him, we always start with the King James, this is the same phrase we had at the beginning of verse 11 with one exception. The adverb shenith has been added and it's correctly translated again. So we have the same phrase and it's, that we had in verse 11. So it says, again, I asked him, the teaching angel, again, I asked him, the teaching angel, what are these two? Now he puts in olive branches. We have the interrogative pronoun ma, joined by a makef to the construct of the numeral shetayim, plus the construct of the noun shebele, plus the plural of zayith. The interrogative pronoun ma, again, asks the question what? Ma is joined by a makef to the construct of the number two, the numeral two. And then we have shibale hazetim. I'll put that up here. This is a little bit different here. So we have shibale. Shibale. And then has a team. So we got S H I B A L E, and then we have the good catch. Definite article, ha? Then Z, long E, T, I, long I, M. Shibale has a T. All right. A couple of things. Literally, this means ears of olives. Literally, ears of olives. And it's an idiom for a cluster of olives. And then, secondly, on each olive tree, from verse 11, on each olive tree was a cluster of olives, or a bunch of olives. So in verse 11, we had the trees. Now we have on each one of the trees, on the right side and the left, a cluster of olives, or a bunch of olives. What are these two cluster of olives? He asks. And then we have the phrase, which through the two golden pipes. Oh, if it's big enough, you can smoke a turkey in these golden pipes. Okay, yeah. Which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. That's the King James. Well, we have the relative pronoun asher, The preposition beth prefixed to the noun yod, the construct of the numeral two, the plural construct of tzantaroth, zahav with a definite article, the hifil of the verb reek, and the preposition min prefixed to the preposition al with the third person plural masculine suffix, and then zahav is repeated with a definite article. So we start out with the relative pronoun asher. Aleph, A-S-H-E-R, asher. Relative pronoun, correctly translated, which. And then we have the preposition beth, prefixed to the noun yod. And it means which are beside, which are beside, which are beside. And then we have Shanae Tzantaroth Ha Zahav. And Zahav is the word gold. And this is correctly translated, the two gold pipes. These are pipes that feed the lamps with oil. So two gold pipes feeding the lamps with oil. And then we have Rik, R-I-Q, Rik. Rik means to empty or to make empty. In our verse, Rik means to pour out Hazahav, golden oil. The preposition min prefixed to al with the third person plural masculine suffix is correctly translated from themselves. So the verse sounds like this. Again, I asked him, the teaching angel, what are these two cluster of olives which are beside the two golden pipes that pour out golden oil from themselves? Got that? Again, I asked him, the teaching angel, what are these two cluster of olives which are beside the two golden pipes that pour out golden oil from themselves? And again, the teaching angel answered Zechariah's question with another question in verse 13. And he answered me and said, and this is, literally, this is the conjunction vav with the cal imperfect of amer, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, plus the cal infinitive construct of amer. Literally, this says, so he answered me saying. That's literally. The vav is a conversive vav, converting the imperfect of Amer into a perfect, and this is an idiom that says, so he replied. So he replied. And then, knowest thou not what these are? That's what I said. Dadgummit, I don't know what these are. But he doesn't get that. Zechariah has great humility. Great humility and respect for this teaching angel. And he even calls him Adon, Lord. And but you don't say that to anybody. You don't, by the way, you don't have to call me Lord. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, you should have the greatest respect for the communicator of the Word of God. There are no teaching angels today. Today you're going to be taught by the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. There are no apostles in the post-canon period of the church age. In the pre-canon period, yes, there were. But not in the post-canon period. No apostles, no prophets. The highest gift of authority in the post-canon period of the church age is the pastor-teacher. And any communicator of the Word of God, you should have the greatest respect, because the Pastor Willie, he is a poimain, a shepherd. He's an under-shepherd. Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd, but the pastor is the under-shepherd, and he's been given a gift to feed the Lord's sheep. And therefore, you should have the greatest respect. And by the way, for those of you who have children, the number one thing you can teach your children, number one, is respect for authority. The most important thing you can teach your children growing up is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, humility, respect for authority. And for children, that means respect for any adult. Any adult, you should have the greatest respect for authority. And with the children, and you go back with the teachers, with the little people, it becomes quite obvious if you have done your job the right way and trained the children with humility, respect for authority, respect for the teacher, the teacher back there teaching the children. You should have the greatest respect for that. And that is the foundational virtue. You don't have that, you're on your way to becoming a loser the rest of your life. The loser the rest of your life if you don't have respect for children, respect for any adult. And there's nothing wrong with learning to say yes ma'am and yes sir. That when you've done that day after day after day and they learn that, now they have a chance to be a winner in life. But it starts with the foundational virtue of humility, respect for authority. That has to come first. Respect, and if you have that, if you learn respect for authority, any adult, then you will have respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the communicator of the Word of God. And you have the basis to being a winner in life. If you don't, well, you're destroying yourself. Sad to say, but many, many children grow up, they do never learn respect for their mom and dad, respect for adults. And they're destroying their own life. That's a major part in our country today as well. So he replied. And then we have the adverb of negation. Hello. Now, there you go, hello. Plus the cal perfect of the verb yada, plus the interrogative pronoun ma, once again, joined by a makef to the plural of the demonstrative pronoun el. Yada, plus the negative lu. Y-A-D-A-I-N, yada. And with the negative lo, it's correctly translated, do you not know? And then once again, the interrogative pronoun ma, what? And the plural of the demonstrative pronoun ale, these. So he replied, do you not know what these are? And I said, no. But notice how he responds, no, my Lord. Zechariah has the greatest humility. This teaching, he respects this teaching angel 100%. And he calls him Lord because of that fantastic humility. And I said, no, my Lord. The conjunction vav prefix to the cal imperfect of amer, plus the negative lo, plus the noun adon with the first person singular suffix. The conjunction vav is the conversive vav, converting the imperfect of amer to a perfect. Once again, amer is the verb to say. The objective negative lo slams the door. Zechariah absolutely does not know what these are. And then the noun adon. Adon. Aleph, A-D, long O-N. Adon. Adon is the Hebrew word for Lord. With the first person singular suffix, it's my Lord. Zechariah has the greatest humility and the greatest respect for this teaching angel. And therefore, he's not smart. He's not a smart aleck with him. Not being smart. And a lot of the, I'll hear kids and they are just arrogance. Smart Alex. I have another word there, but and because they have no respect for the adult that is working with them or teaching them. Therefore, he addresses him, my Lord. He has the greatest humility and the greatest respect for this teaching angel. So he replied, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And then verse 14. You didn't think we'd get to the end of that chapter 4 tonight, did you? Then he said, these are the two anointed ones. That's the King James. We have the conjunction vav prefix to the cal imperfect of amer, plus the demonstrative pronoun ela, plus the ordinal shene, plus the plural construct of bane, joined by a makef to the plural of the noun yitzhar with the definite article. The vav is the transitional vav and may be translated and moreover now, then, so. The vav is also a conversive vav, converting the imperfect of the verb into a perfect. Once again, amer is the verb to say. So this is correctly translated, so he said. Or then he said, and who is he? Well, that's right. Who is he? He is she and me is who? There you go. Who is he? He is the teaching angel. So he said, then he said, he is the teaching angel. And the demonstrative pronoun ela, these are, then the ordinal two, shene, these are the two, bene, Ha-yitar, the construct of ben. Ben is the word, little, it's the word for son. B-E-N. That's actually the Hebrew word for son. And so it's in the construct form, the sons of. Literally, it says the sons of. And then Yitzhar. Y-I-T-S-H-A-R. Yitzhar. And Yitzhar literally is fresh oil. So literally this says, these are the two sons of fresh oil. Did that do a lot for you? These are the two sons of fresh oil. That's literally what this says. Now, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 844, says that in our verse, Zechariah 4:14, Yitzhar refers to anointing oil. Therefore, the two sons of fresh oil is an idiom that means the anointed ones. And who are the anointed ones? Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. So the corrected translation, so he said, these are the two anointed ones. These are the two anointed ones. And then we have the stand by the Lord of the whole earth. This is the catalactic participle of amav plus the preposition al joined by a makef to adon, plus the noun kol joined by a makef to eretz with a definite article. Amav. I-N-A-M-A-D. Amav. Amav means to take one stand. To take one stand, to stand. It's a substantival participle. It functions as a noun. And so this is the two anointed ones are the ones who are standing. The ones who are standing. The two anointed ones are the ones who are standing. And then we have Al Adon by the Lord. This is correctly translated, the ones who are standing by the Lord to serve Him. The Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is Kol Haaretz, the Lord of the entire earth. Kol Haaretz. So, corrected translation. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth to serve him. These are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth to serve him. All right. One, the two anointed ones are Zerubbabel, the civil leader, and Joshua the high priest, the spiritual leader. The two anointed ones are Zerubbabel, the civil leader, and Joshua the high priest, the spiritual leader. Two, anointing oil was poured over their heads to symbolize their being endowed with God's spirit. And this is the endowment of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Anointing oil was poured over their heads to symbolize their being endowed, the endowment of God the Holy Spirit. Three, Zerubbabel is a descendant of King David. Zerubbabel is a descendant of King David, and Joshua the high priest, they were anointed servants chosen by the Lord to lead the nation and represent Israel before him. Zerubbabel, a descendant of King David, and Joshua the high priest were anointed servants chosen by the Lord to lead the nation and represent Israel before him. Well, there's a lot more of my summary, but I want to get to some very important passages. In fact, these two witnesses here are these two olive branches and olive trees here. We're going to see them again in the far fulfillment, in the tribulation, in the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. There are two witnesses who are called the olive trees, olive branches. That's the far fulfillment of what we have here. I want to take the time to look at that great passage. And so we'll stop here. you got 3 points. All we got to do is finish this and look at the far fulfillment in the great tribulation with the olive trees, two olive trees, the two witnesses in the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years. That'll be next week. We'll start there, and then we're in chapter 5. We are smoking. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.